I'm Adam Addicks. Yeah. Is that working? Or I don't really need a mic most of the time. Thanks for asking me. Well, always a great pleasure. I mean that. It's funny, even just sitting here, my head's really quiet. And I think, is there anything going on down there or in there? Because that's a miracle, this stuff, getting that quiet. I thought, how'd you get your head quiet? From an early age, my head was always loud, well before drink and drug come along. And the thing with my nut and my head, like most of us, it don't tell you any good stuff, does it? It always tells you negative and bad stuff, doesn't it? It never says, you're doing really well, you're a really handsome guy, you're really bright, you're shit, you're a mug, you're stupid, and all that sort of gear, you know. And it talks about in that book, doesn't it, about mental defectives, you know, and my thinking, my mind is broken. Something's wrong with it. I don't quite understand that sort of gear. And we come in here, I remember coming my first meeting in 2004. I'm just coming from a suicide attempt. My marriage is over, it's ruined. I'm full of fear and anxiety and terror. My life's over. It talks about in that book, we perish, we're doomed, we're going to die, we're fate is fatal. We take it such nonchalant when I had that sort of gear at first. You know, I thought, well, ain't that bad. It's a bit dramatic, isn't it? Even though we're really dramatic people, as we know, but that's a bit dramatic. And I go in my first meeting, people go, you're right, I'm great. How am I great? I just walked in my first meeting, and that's the stuff straight away. And I can't tell people how I truly feel. And I get that. That's why it's really, really important. I understand what step one is, or the first principle in step one. It talks about honest. How do you get honest when you've been dishonest all your life? How can you be just yourself when you try to be someone else all your life? So when I hear people come in these meetings, I say, I've got this from day one. I'll stop drinking from day one. That's not getting it from day one. This takes time to change that thinking around personality, that spiritual awakening. It's funny, isn't it? I always share, we're very greedy. I'm going to try not to swear too much because obviously it's been taped as well. But we're really greedy as addicts, aren't we, and alcoholics. We're really greedy. I've never met an addict, an alcoholic, not greedy. You give me one, I want another one, really sharpish. You know, give me a 10, I want 20 quid. You give me 100 quid, I want 1,000. You give me 1,000, I want more. You give me one burger, I want two. We're really greedy bastards, aren't we? That's my Tourette's coming out there, I mean. And then I'll try and calm that down. And I come in here, and we like anything new, didn't we? We like new cocktails, new drinks, new drugs come along, didn't we? Anything new, oh, let's try that. It might kill you. Well, don't matter, we'll worry about that next time. It's a bit weird shape, that pill, and it's a bit off colour, but, you know, I'm not thinking, is it going to do me any harm? Is it going to kill me? I go, how much is it? How long's the buzz last for? You know, and you got any more? So I don't question it. I don't doubt it. Straight away, I don't even doubt it. And I walk in these meetings, and people say, I've got something new for you. I go, oh, fuck me, that's good. That's exciting. What's that? Well, new life. Oh. Don't know if I want that. And I don't think I'm mental defective. I don't think I'm mentally wrong. I don't think I'm mentally ill. Only someone mentally ill would think like that, surely. When I can think along them lines, I can understand what a mental illness looks like. I used to hear people share, you know, we're the only illness that tells you we ain't got it. Says who? Says who? There's a lot of other illnesses. I know what I have to remember when I come in, you know, I've got to stop becoming a nodding dog. Because I used to quote certain things, I used to go around certain meetings and he sounded really spiritual and he sounded really well, so I'll listen to what he says, so I'll take that to another meeting, and what I'll do, I sat in a really low voice, because that means I'm really spiritual. Yeah, I'm Adam, yeah, I'm really spiritual. And and I'm still cheating on my ex-wife, I'm still gambling, I'm still thieving, I'm dying internally. And that act it talks about in that book, that is me all over. Because I don't know any different. Because I can't let you in that intimacy they talk about. Don't understand that stuff. Anything bad for me, I don't question. Relationships, every relationship I was in was dysfunctional. Why wouldn't they be? I was in them. Yeah, but it's true, don't it? I've never met one, but it's true, don't it? I've been with my wife 20 years, 10 years, so what? You know, it's great, but it wouldn't have been happy. We don't use our full potential. Not one untreated addict or alcoholic is in a healthy relationship. Now, some are healthier than others. I just want to point that out. But when I start realising that stuff, how can I be? I was in my relationship with my first wife 14 years and she never really knew me. But on the outside, we had a nice house. We had all paid for, all whatever. And internally, I'm sitting in that, in the bathroom one day trying to take my life 2004. So I know that shit don't work. And it's really important I understand money's really, really important. It pays bills, it gives me opportunities. It's so important, I understand that. But I'm the wealthiest man I've ever been, and I mean that. I mean that internally. The best experience I've got is mine. That's all I've got. I can give you some hope. I've been clean since 2004 July, right? 04, it's 18 years, I'm not here. But I need to share that with you to give you hope. Because if everyone's 6 months and a year sober and keep going out there, what's the point? Because drinking drugs is a great persuader, isn't it? I've got to find happiness here. If I don't, I'm going to go, is this it? This is it. If you want it to be, this is it. And we all go through tough times. We all go through times. This is the guarantee, the promise in that book, and there's plenty. But there's one in there, you will never, ever, ever have to pick up a drink or drug or mind-altering substance ever again. That's a guarantee. It doesn't mean you're not going to have your heart broken. It doesn't mean we're not going to go bankrupt. It doesn't mean we're not going to get divorced. And some people don't get their kids back. Let's just make that clear. You've really got to understand that, because you're never going to get pissed off and resentful when you see other people get their kids back and you don't. So it's really important. I live in my head 24/7. I live in my body 24/7. So I better get well in them. And I mean that. It's really important I understand that. I don't talk about drinking drugs. What's the point? You're in the wrong meeting if your problem is drinking drugs. You are. I say, if drinking drugs is your problem, well, just stop. Good day. No, I mean that. But if drinking drugs is your solution, then you have a problem. Because what happens when you put a drinking drug down? It's what they say, what sober stands for, doesn't it? Son of a bitch, everything's real. Wow. What happens to my nut? What happens to my head when I put drinking drugs down? And physically, we get better quite quickly, don't we, a lot of us? You take a drink and drug out of us, physically, we feel better. It's really important. You think after 18 years knowing a little bit of this stuff, I should be able to quote that book. I can't. But there's little bits and pieces I know, but the good thing is when I open that book, it comes alive. And you know, it was beautiful when I walked in, and there's a few people I bumped into and had a little chat with, and I see the light in their eyes, you know. It talks about self-reliance and just talking to a couple of people. I can go and talk to anyone. If they listen or not, that's a different question. But do you know what I mean? But I've got that confidence. There's nothing, there's no motive behind it. Do you know what I mean? And I've spoken to a few of it today, and you're lit up. We're lit up. Now, I'm not talking about what, don't talk in that book, you know, Ebby turned up, or others turned up, or he had a nice pair of Gucci shoes on, or he had a nice watch, or he had a nice car. Talks about internal stuff. That's where the spirit is. I remember a woman sharing many years ago, each time I took a drink out of that bottle, the bottle took the spirit out of me, and it really resonated. I thought, get it. I understood that. So every time I took a drink, every time I took a drug, every time I cheated on my ex, every time I stole out of the company, every time I've done not nice things, and this, I have to own that git. It took a part of me. I never once got away with it. And I never physically got caught nicking or cheating. And I'm not proud of none of them things. I'm just, that's where it took me. That's what alcoholism done. Addiction, alcoholism. In that book, Bill Wilson talks about it. He's in them jazz bars. He's lit up. He's going on his bike. $1,000. It's a fortune. He got a lot of money. When I looked at Bill Wilson's story, I thought, how do you relate to him? A lawyer, a stockbroker. He's a very bright guy. How can I relate to him? And I've read Bill's story quite a lot of time over the years. Tick, tick, fuck me. The way he thought, the way he acted internally, how he ended up. You know, he's in them jazz bars, chatting in millions and thousands and all that sort of gear, you know, what we do. You know, I travelled the world on a bar stool, I did. I was going to do so much. I was the only person who worked 6 days a week who was skint and in debt. Work that one out. Couldn't work it out. My thinking, what's already been shared today, my thinking couldn't work that out. You think any normal thing, fuck me, maybe I should stop doing something I'm doing here. Or maybe I'll have a different career. But that's what addiction does and alcoholism. It takes everything from me internally, but tells me I'm all right with it. And that's the gear, isn't it? It's like, My best thinking got me in the worst trouble. I always had these good ideas. They were such a good idea, I never told anyone. Work that one out. And I was trying to think what I was going to say there about that other stuff earlier, you know, and but it don't matter. And it's about, you know, when I'm thinking along them lines, you know, when I'm about my thinking, that's what I was going to talk about. Bill's story there. If someone would have said to him, Bill, in time you're going to be stealing out your wife's purse, her slender purse, while she's working, and you're getting drunk, and you're, would you believe that? He wouldn't have believed it, would he? He was living the high life. Most people you talk about in these books, they on the outside, they don't look like alcoholics, addicts. And that's the thing, isn't it? And that's exactly the same with me. It talks about the progression of the illness. It talks about it's never going to get better, it's going to get worse. There's things, as I started off, and it talks about also in that book about people's habits. They form at different times. We've got to remember that. They form at different times, people's habits. There's people start really drinking in their 30s, in their 40s, and it gets worse, and they end up in asylums really, really quickly. But I've got to remember what step one talks about, getting identification. Am I that hopeless variety? Because when I used to read that the real alcoholic in that book, I thought, is that separating me? They talk about the real deal. But it's not separating me at all. It's identifying me. And I have to understand that. Am I the real deal it talks about? Because there's a lot of people come in these meetings, and the truth is, they're not addicts and alcoholics, some of them. They're not. Some people come and go, and some people find a significant reason will stop them. Fall in love, ill health, whatever that may be. They might have just been that heavy drinker. And I get that. I understand that. And there's some people stick in these meetings who won't need to do a lot. They can do a few meetings and their life will be okay. My experience is not the same. It gets that painful. When I hear people say alcoholism and addiction wants to kill you, it don't. I can guarantee you it doesn't. It talks about alcoholic torture in the book. In that in itself, torture. If you're going to talk to someone, you ain't going to shoot them in the head, are you? You ain't no eye, you're going, bang, it's all over. Let's rip his toes off, let's do his... Yeah. I haven't done that, obviously. But that's torture, isn't it? I would like to have done that with a few people in my life. But let's get it right. I think a lot of people wanted to do the same for me. That's more important than me. But that's the stuff, isn't it? Addiction, alcoholism... doesn't want you out there, dead. It wants out you believe in the lie. You're all right, you've got some control. You've got some power. You're making a choice in this stuff. That's where the lie is. It calls about delusions, got to get smashed. Why do they, that's a big word in it, smashed. They don't say we're going to tap you on your shoulder and whisper it in your ear hole. They don't say that, we've got to smash into you. Why? It says another strong, we burn it into your consciousness. Why are we trying to get it in there? Because it talks about, you can go and listen to great shares, you can have the best sponsor on the planet, you can have all that stuff, you can have all the guidance, you can have all that. And if I'm untreated, it talks about the pain humiliation a week or a month ago, we'll forget. I'm talking minutes. I'm in bed with my ex-wife at the time, and I've pissed the bed and I've blamed her, obviously, as you do. And not a good fucking choice and decision. And then, but do you know what I mean? It's all that pain, and I thought, I can't do it again, I'm not doing it again, I'm not doing it again, I'm not doing it again. Oh, obviously, most addicts and alcoholics, or most people don't wake up like that, do they? They don't wake up like, I'm not doing it again. But the point I'm making, minutes later, I'm thinking, maybe just one, or I need one. The desperation of the drowning man, it talks about. And it's funny, we come in these meetings, as I shared before, we're desperate, some of them. Some of us, some are coming here for the wrong reasons, some are pulled in and dragged in for the wrong reasons, and I get that. But I like illustrations, because things in my head work out, I need to see things in my head clearly. I always say, it's a bit like someone, if we're drowning, imagine we've all been shipwrecked and we're drowning in the sea, haven't we? And everyone was thrown a life jacket. How many of us would not put that life jacket on? It'd be mad not to, wouldn't it? You might get some crank who might not put it on. And no, my luck, I'd have a hole in mine. But the point I'm making that, we'd be mad not to put that life jacket on. We can see that illustration really quick. And we walk in here, and we're dying of alcoholism and drowning. And it talks of fellowship, jump on board with this stuff. And I'm drowning, and I don't even know I'm drowning. And someone throws a big book at me. Someone throws a sponsor at me. Someone throws iPower and God at me. Some people, all this fellowship at me, and I don't take it. I don't pull it on. Now, we can laugh at that. We can think, oh, yeah, it's a nice scenario, nice illustration, but it don't apply to me. If you're, what does recovery look like to you? If you're just sitting in a meeting after a period of time and you're not doing this stuff, you're just sitting in a meeting. That ain't recovery. I can say that because I've got experience, because I've done that. It's funny, isn't it? I phoned up my mate, I ain't spoke to him for a little while before I left. I said, how you doing, fella? He went, yeah, I'm good. He said, I'm struggling now. I've been in my head a little bit. Now, his mum died of cancer, but it was horrible. The way she passed away was not very nice. His dad's got dementia. He's looking after his dad. He's working, and his son's in a bit of trouble with the police, right? And he went out, and he said, I feel like I should be doing more in recovery. And he's going to meetings, he's doing the stuff. And that's the altruistic unselfishness as a person I hear. And do you know the self-centred people I hear? They're always thinking they're doing too much, don't they, when you think about it? Well, I need to go, it's taken me 2.5 hours to get here, so I'm thinking, what? That's my biggest dilemma, caught in a bit of traffic. The time I rang a few people, it went really quick. If I said that to some people, I just had to go meet and it took me a couple of hours, I'd go, wow. If I think that's wow, I'm never going to grow. I'm never going to get better. What makes you laugh? The irony of that, they've just been away on holiday and just been on a flight for 14,000 miles and that. Do you understand? They've been on a plane, they've gone all the way to the end of the world. They come back, they don't think about it. Can you do a meeting, share for us an hour away? Well, it's a bit far. What's being shared? What length is length? I'll do anything. I'll swim the channel until you give me a pair of Speedos. Do you know? Ain't a pretty sight. Do you know what I mean? But I've had to get a sense of humour around here. It might be a bad one for a lot of people. But I've had to keep a sense of humour. My sponsor, it says in that book, we beg you from the start to get on with this stuff. And it's funny. It's really important. All our lives we say, get this up your ear quick. Get this down your throat. Get it up your ass really quick. And we come in here and say, just take your time. When you go through that book, at once, the urgency, we launch. Now, I know people's circumstances are slightly different. I understand that. But if you're stuck on your step four for 4 months or 3 months, you're on step one. Just want to point that out. Unless you ate the fucking world and you've got loads of resentments, maybe, that might be different. But that's it, isn't it? That's the truth. Am I doing it or am I not doing it? I'm not that clever. I'm not very bright. I ain't got a massive IQ. But I've had that spiritual awakening that talks about, that psychic change, that personality change. Wow. That is priceless. There's no IQ on the planet can match that. But it's about what's already been shared, continuing stuff, right? My sponsor's over 20 years and he's still got that light about him, he's still got enthusiasm, he's still got that buzz. So have I. I was at a camp convention last week. My wife was there, been with her over 16 years, he's never seen me clean and sober. We're bouncing up and him, I got a bad back. It don't matter. But do you know what I mean? We was there late and I was very lucky. I was able to share that thing as well. But my wife was there and I said some nice things about her. It makes a change. But it does. I love her with all my heart. I love her with all my heart. I know what that feels like today. That unconditional love. Even these simple little things, isn't it? Leaving your phone anywhere. I can't even leave my phone in it. I had it super glued to my chest. My first... Do you know what I mean? It's like... I lied and cheated and stole. Let's get it right. This is what I'm about. I'm a coward and I'm a fraud. I was. That's what I'm about. Before, you know, my late father-in-law passed away, or before I married my first wife, he passed away and she was left a lot of money. And I stole a lot of her late father's money. I left her in a lot of debt, right? And I stole from my best pal, the company we worked for, stole out of that. People that show me that unconditional love more than anything, I shit on them more than anything. My mum and dad, went from an early age, even before drink and drug come along, I was stealing out my mum's purse and my dad's belt would change. So I can't blame that on a drink or drug, can I? I remember trying to suffocate myself when I was young. You know, a well kid, obviously. But do you know what I mean? I can't even blame that on a substance. So even then I was acting out gambling addiction from the age of 12, 13. So there's always something going not right with me. But we're all conditioned to think a certain way, especially social media now and everything else, you know, people creating all this stuff. How many likes they get and all that, I'm not none of that stuff, you know, but that's what we do. years ago, women would say, does my bum look big in this? Now, does it look big enough? Do you know what I mean? But it's that mentality, isn't it? It's about how I look. It's great to look well. It's great. I go down the gym. You wouldn't think so, but I go down there cycling. I go a lot of walking. I've travelled. You know, when I first come in, I said to my sponsor, is my life over? He said, life over? You're just trying to kill yourself. You're in so much debt and you think it's over. It's about giving you hope. Get enthusiastic. This is about, has it got depth and weight, this message? Because if I'm just saying, just keep coming back and don't pick up that at a time, I ain't staying around. And I mean that. So life will turn up. You know, there's a lot of people go through some really dark times, you know, in recovery, and they get through it. That's what they talk about, being recovered. There's not one thing on the planet today will make me pick up a drink or drug today. That's recovered as you can be recovered. That's it, as simple as that. As you said, all the other stuff, it smashed into me. I will never, ever, ever, ever be able to drink safely again or use again. That's done. That's why I don't talk about the drink. What's the point? That door shut. But the second part, that internal stuff, unmanageability. It's not talking about paying my bills or not paying my bills. That's talking about that internal stuff. It talks about on page 52. If I don't learn to treat that, them insecurities, that sorrow, the suicide thoughts, the depression, the negativity and all that stuff, if I don't look at that stuff, if I don't look at it, I'm never going to improve it. And this is why we act out in the wrong places, don't we? I see it all the time in recovery. We come in, don't we? And all of a sudden we get a few days under our belt and all of a sudden we think we've been around a long while. I'm still a newcomer. I still class myself as a newcomer. Not to make myself feel, keeps my feet firmly on the ground. Because I go to meetings where there's people 30, 40, 50 years sober. I'm a baby. I'm an 18-year-old child in recovery. And that has kept me feet firmly on the ground. Because if you're like me, you've got a massive ego. And when I first come around, 30, 60 days, 90 days, you get a pat on the shoulder. My shoulders are up and my head's big. And now I think I've been around for years. Because I can quote a couple of them pages in that book. There's a big difference in being well. And there's a big difference acting well. There's a big difference being kind. And there's a big difference of acting kind or being kind, shall I say. That's the thing, isn't it? Head to the heart, you know. I'll start work with others at the beginning, because as my sponsor said, you must give this away. Talks about, as you said before, unselfish, altruistic, giving. When you read through that book, it's all about giving. And when I first started working with others and doing this stuff, it was all about making me feel better. If I do X, Y, Z, it make me feel better. And it's just that little bit in the book, didn't it? It says, when the spiritual malady is overcome with resentments, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So when the spiritual malady is overcome. But I need to follow that with an action first. Because if your head takes control, you ain't doing nothing. Why do I need to do a meeting? Why do I need to ring him up? Why do I need to ring her up? I'm not picking his fucking rubbish up. I'm not serving him a cup of tea. He's not even grateful for that. Do you understand? I ain't going down the gym. I'm not going for a walk. My head will run the show all day long. That is a demon right now. So when I start putting that in action, that's what my sponsor was good. When I first come round for the first 5 months, nothing had changed. I come to loads of meetings, done bundles of meetings. I had a sponsor, and I love sharing it when, you know, you can ring us. You ring a drug dealer 20 times a day, wouldn't you? You just ring them 20 times a day. Where are you? You ain't picking the phone up. You don't say you're at work, you're busy with your family. You think, fucking, where are you? Something's going to really make me feel bad. And also, my sponsor says, Ed, you can ring me anytime. Hopefully, I'll pick the phone up straight away. If I don't, I'll get back to you. Mm-hmm. I look at his number, I think, he'd be busy. He'd be at work. He don't want me driving mad. That's alcoholism and addiction right there, blocking me off. You don't need it, you can do this on your own. And if I could do it on my own, I wouldn't be sitting here like all of us, could we? And that's the stuff, innit? So as I said, I was cheating, I was stealing, I was gambling. And I'm thinking, this program don't even work. What was I doing in it? Nothing. So after a while, all you can share is the crap and the drama. That's all you can share. And lucky enough, on the 4th of July, I drank on the day before. That's how deluded I was. All mind altering substances, it was blurred out. That's how deluded I was. That's how sick I was. I'm doing bundles of meetings, and I'm drinking in meetings. because I'm not an alcoholic. But I won't tell you that anyway. And that's what I said, I'm a fraud, I'm a coward. And that's such a painful place to be, in a meeting where you're in something and you're walking out of that meeting, putting that act on, telling people you're all right. And I think, why can't I just tell people? Why can't I just tell people I'm drinking? Why can't I tell people, please help me? Why can't I do that? Because there's a part of me not letting go of them old ideas, them threadbare ideas I didn't understand. If I can get enough money, I still keep nicking that money, it'll make me feel better. If I cheat on my missus or that girl, it'll make me feel better. And we think that gives me comfort. It gives me discomfort. If you feel like your head's louder when you do that, it's so much louder after we do that. It's like putting my head in that vice and it's painful. And I don't know why that window of opportunity, sitting in that meeting on the Sunday down Southgate Mall in the Priory, I should have been in there, not in the meeting. And it went, Ad, you've done nothing what these people have been talking about. And I realised when they say let go, I never knew I was clinging on. And I had that relief then, and I never looked back. So you're having a tug of war with it, you know, and that's what I was like, that threadbare. And then I let go, and I just felt my ego get deflated. I thought, right, now I'm going to give this a go. And I've put all my heart and soul in this. I do a lot of meetings. My sponsor got me in. Talk about that spiritual malady, got to get straightened out. I had commitments. He got me in commitments straight away 2 weeks in. Even when I drank, I kept the commitment. And then he had me London. He had me area in London and everywhere else. So I had my flat. I only had a small flat. Half of it was taken over with boxes of pamphlets. I thought, you son, and he went, I've got some good news. I went, what's the good news? He went, it's for 2 years. I thought, you son of a bitch. I dare you do this to me. The man say, he was one massive part of my recovery, what helped me and practically saved my life doing this stuff, because I couldn't see doing that stuff was giving back. We can all give back, even one day sober. You can put a chair out, you can say hello to someone, you can greet, that's giving something back. That's one day in. There's so much we can do. And by doing that, he got me into service quite a lot. And I've done some H&I, which we were going about a prison in Aylesbury. I remember doing many years ago. And there's young kids in there, like, been on blackouts, who've taken someone's life. And I thought, fucking hell. Done a lot of commitments, loads of meetings. But I've always, always, always stayed in that big book. I've never forgotten. And I'm lucky because I like people. Some people. I say some people mix, it don't mean we're all going to mix. I get that. It's funny, isn't it? Because you have to come in here at meetings, you're really self-centred and they're self-centred and you're trying to be friends. What chance you got? She won't let me talk about me. Well, she won't let me talk about her. You know what I mean? It's like, it's very... And it's all fluffy when you come in. Oh, it's great, CA, and it's lovely, and it's fantastic. You give it 2-3 weeks. She's a bitch, I ain't never coming back to CH, and he talks shit, and he's up his own arse, and I love it. And that's why I need that change of heart, change of thinking. Because we're in a meeting of people, addicts and alcoholics. It says we're selfish to the core. We're not spiritual to the core. I love it when people say, I've always been spiritual. You're in the wrong fucking place. And I mean that. I'm a taker. Not today. I'm still an arsehole. I'm just the best arsehole I've ever been. Do you know what I mean? It's like... I've lost both parents in recovery. You know, I was there. My brother is in recovery now after watching many years, practically watching my brother die. You know, he's reaching out. He's got a lot of his family back in his life and grandchildren. Wow, why wouldn't I want this? If you're struggling around this stuff, it's all right. It's all right to struggle. Say you're struggling. We can do things. This is what the program's here for, you know. And there'll be people buzzing with this program. People buzzing in life, and today there'll be people struggling, there'll be people going through a dark time. It's a conveyor belt. We've all been through certain stuff. But I really struggled academically at school. I end up doing the knowledge, become a London cab driver in recovery. That brought up a lot of fear. Me, it was going, you're shit, you know, good, you can't do it, you're dyslexic. Just not my thinking. Just going to do it. I'm all right. My head's quiet most of the time. And then the little voice goes, you've got dementia. What the fuck? But the great thing with me, I've always had a shitty memory, so I can't even give a shit. My memory's never been good. When I've always had good memory, I thought I'm never have, so I wouldn't know if I fucking got it anyway. Me and my wife, I love camping. I own sandals, which took me a while to admit. Do you know what I mean? It's like, but all that stuff I've been able to do, climb mountains, I've done so much. Done so much. It's so much we can enjoy. But always make it important. Make CA your home and visit the world, you know. It's really important. When I heard that, I thought, yeah, I get it. Because what happens when we come in? A month or two, all of a sudden we get busy in work, busy relationships. We want you to fall in love. We want you to have careers. We want all that stuff for you. But if I don't have this, I don't have that. Because we would have found out by now, surely. That would have worked before. I love it when people say, my obsession's left. Through the drill, it's great. Just bought 20 pair of fucking new trainers. We ain't left that much. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, that won't kill me. But do you know what I mean? It's about restoring me to sanity, this stuff. I go to weddings, I've been to funerals. The only times I went to weddings and funerals was to have a booze, have a drink, take some drugs. You know, I can't believe what's on offering. I can't put it in words. For the sake of 30, 40 minutes, you know, you're trying to cram in and encourage people, and that's what I try to do. You know, it's, as we said before, it's got to have some depth and weight, innit? It's got to be attractive. It's got to be worth staying for. And for me, wow, has it been. It's gone so quick. I even had a woman come up to me in a meeting in Northampton a little while ago. She went, it's nice to have an old-timer. I thought, old-timer? I'm still young, cheeky cow. Now, do you know what I mean? But, you know, it's when I used to come around and people would be 5 years and 10 years, I thought, how'd you get that? But if you stay around and do what they was doing, I understand. It's gone so, so quick, you know. And I don't know how long I've been sharing for, you know. It's, I think I'm going to wrap it up. I think it's 40 minutes. It's funny, it's gone really quick. And but as you said, please, we beg of you, get on with these steps. Don't hang about with this stuff. I always say, you know, you wouldn't be in a crack house and not do use crack, would you? You wouldn't go in a betting shop and not have a bet. You wouldn't go in other establishments and not do what you need to do with women, maybe. And I come in here, it's 12-step fellowship, and I don't do the 12 steps. And I get it, don't we? It's mad, isn't it? Maybe I'll do one. It sounds mad, doesn't it? You tell any addict or alcoholic, just said do one, they go, fuck off. But we come in here, I just do one. I need to grass that up. The louder I got vocally, the quieter my head got. The quieter I become, the louder my head become. So I have to understand that. Get someone in your corner. And you don't have to share this stuff I've never shared in meetings. I never will. Never will. Don't need to. But what I can share is the journey and what's on offer to a little bit, you know. I really appreciate you for asking me. Thanks for listening, and have a nice day. Thank you.
So give away another one for Adam, please.